So I get to welcome our panelists and our watchers, Margie, Rodian, Kerry, and Monica, to our information meeting this evening, which has been an event that we've been holding now for nearly 18 months or 2 years. And lo and behold, here we start our meeting this evening with no people that have arrived. And we get to take an opportunity to possibly have a discussion and share some ideas for anybody that may want to listen to this at some other point about how we work with mushrooms and what is important about soma and sacred mushrooms to us. And maybe I'd like to ask the question to you guys that are here, because before this meeting started, I Googled, what is the meaning of spirituality? And without any thinning out or specifically looking for the answer, Google gives us the answer right on top. And I'm going to read that out. And maybe we can have a discussion. Monica, you, when we were chatting before the meeting started, came up with an idea of how positive you feel about what your purpose is in what you want to share about mushrooms. Kerry, you've spoken about your work. Margie, you've spoken about your work. Rodian, you and I are in a specific space in our life about what's happening for us. So Google says, from an article about what is spirituality, right on top, it says, spirituality is a broad concept with room for many perspectives. In general, it includes a sense of connection to something bigger than ourselves, and it typically involves a search for meaning in life. As such, it is a universal human experience, something that touches us all. And I don't want to say
that.
I love that, don't you? And I don't want to say that's the right answer or the wrong answer. But I'd like to, in context of that, speak to each of you. And Margie, I would like to start with you on the top, to put you on the spot, of you to please share with us where you are in your life. And in the context of working with Soma and sacred mushrooms, where are you in your life and how has that offered or made a contribution to what you believe is your purpose in life? Knowing that you're retiring tomorrow and starting a new chapter in your life the day after.
I really like that definition. I hadn't thought about it. I've always felt that I hadn't reached the spirituality of soma and mushrooms, and actually listening to that definition really helps me see that it's not. I think I got caught up in a kind of religious spirituality definition. And I mean, I come from a family of two very Protestant missionaries. My father was a church minister, but in fact was actually spiritual in this broader sense, much more than the religious. But in a way, now I kind of rejected all kind of formal religion and any of that. It really doesn't sit well with me at all. And I thought, well, maybe that's partly why I'm not allowing myself to access what I hear other people talking about in terms of the spirituality. And then I started thinking around what am I getting from the mushrooms? And this sense of connection has been a fundamental shift in how I am in the world and how I'm able to relate to others. So in a way, hearing that definition really makes me feel, okay, it's okay, you know, that it's not about having to think of it in a religious sense. It's just such a much broader aspect. And I suppose part of me is a sense of relief. It's actually okay, you know. but that understanding that thing of connection is such a fundamental aspect of how we can make a difference in the world. And Monica, I was telling others earlier before you joined about how there's this party being thrown for me tomorrow night. And when I first heard about it, I kind of freaked out a bit and thought, I don't like to be the center of attention in that. And I was talking to my daughter earlier this evening, and she says, actually, you need to celebrate that because it's about your connection with others. And people feel it very strongly from me. And I clearly create a kind of sense of safe connection around it. And I thought, yeah, and that's changed fundamentally over the last 3, 4, 5 years when I've started looking at myself and trying to find a way to get into that connection. And mushrooms have played a very important role in that. So I think that the spirituality is about feeling that you are part of the world, that you are grounded in the world and connected not only to people around you, but to the ground you walk on and just being aware of it. So yeah, let me end there because I think that I could carry on for too long otherwise. But I think that's kind of in a nutshell. Yeah.
Thank you, Margie. I want to go to Kerry next because Rodianne's whispered in my ear and she said, I really had no idea what to say. and then I said, well, I'll come to you a little bit later. And she said, I don't think I'll have any idea what to say then either. But Kerry, do you have some thoughts?
I do. And unlike Margie, I grew up in a very non-religious home. I ended up going to a Catholic school. But when I've been talking about my writing quite a bit recently, I've been talking very much about what I was like as a child. The stories that I used to make up, how I wrote my first poem, which was Skipping Down the Road. And when I was a child, I had an imaginary friend. And my imaginary friend was called Charlie. And Charlie had a very strong energetic presence. And you know, I now am firmly of the belief that he was some kind of spirit guide who was with me when I was young. And I think I was hugely lucky as a child to experience all of these things because in a way it has defined how I've lived my life. But it's like I'm coming back to that now. In terms of my writing and in terms of that connection to spirit. And I think my whole life I've been looking for it, you know, and I've looked for it in different ways, some destructive ways. For me, that spirituality is very much about connection to spirit, but it's also not forgetting that we are human beings and we're here to have a human experience. And so all of our sense of smell, taste, touch, everything is actually so vitally important because we are channels for that information back into the spirit world. I always talk about this, how colors are so much brighter. I can see green and the trees are vibrant. And that vibrancy is so beautiful because it just reminds me that we are no different from the trees. We're no different from the water that's in the stream. We are all part of that. And I went on a retreat last year, which I keep calling the magical retreat, because it was meant to be a writer's retreat, but one of the facilitators was a Sangoma. And we ended up doing I'm going to get the name wrong, so I'm just going to say it. We did a steam, a traditional steam. We went walks into nature, and I had such a connection to the place, although I'd never been there before. And it actually made me realize that my spirituality is a connection to nature and to places. And I've been doing quite a lot of reading around Celtic shamanism, and they talk about creation as always having been there, and that we come into the world and we should be treading with absolute sacredness on this world that we inhabit. And that's also spirituality for me. And so working with mushrooms for me, as I said, it's kind of brought me back to my childhood and to all of those connections that I've had. But it's also just opened up me to thinking in a different way, and to connecting with people in a different way, to not getting angry as I usually do about things. And just, you know, we talked about it earlier, and Rodi, and you used the word trust. And just trusting in a way that things will work out. And on my work computer, I have a little sign that says, hold lightly. So it's just hold everything lightly. And I think that the work that I've done with mushrooms has certainly enabled me to do that. And so what does the future hold? Who knows? You know, this journey will continue in whatever form it continues. And I just think that my connections will deepen. Particularly to nature, there's still a lot of stuff I'm attached to, you know, and still a lot of stuff that in the coaching modality that I do, we talk about personality, and that it's the personality that attaches onto things, and so we all have, and I know that I still have a lot of that, and all I can do is just work with where I'm at and work with what's happening around me. And I think mushrooms in a profound way allows me to do that in a way that's good for me and as well is good for the world. So that's me.
Thank you, Kerry. Well, both of you speak so beautifully. Rodi-Ann.
Yes.
Can I pick on you now?
Okay. So I was sitting here thinking about my journey with mushrooms. I mean, it started all the way back when somebody gave me a handful of mushrooms, a gram actually, at an earth dance, and put it on a sash dog and said, "Here, have this." And I ate it. And that was my first experience of mushrooms. I don't even know how many years ago that was. But then I was just thinking about all the things that mushrooms have nudged me. And there were a few things that I thought I understood. But now in hindsight, I didn't actually, and it's taken me probably 8 years to figure that out. Do you know what I mean? It's like one of my first journeys. And it's, you know, it's this long down the line. So, you know, Margie, you always say to people, oh, sometimes, you know, it's integration, it's quick and lessons learned. And sometimes it can take that long. So I do know personally that there came a stage where I really could understand I think I said it in one of my introductions on one of the Soma at Homes, where I can understand the difference between Rodi talking rubbish in my head and when I'm actually being inspired or guided by intuition or that spiritual connection that we're all referring to. I think that has been... When you work so much with Soma so frequently, I really started understanding what Monica meant when she said, you know, there comes a stage when you don't actually need to take a large amount of mushrooms, because once you understand the feeling of the visions are coming, you can actually let go and still have the visions and the information coming. Yes, you may not have all the incredible geometric patterns and life might just not distort as much as it would on a higher dosage, but you're still getting the information that you need if you allow yourself to go there. So that has been I always used to sit in the office with Monica, and he's like, you know, you don't have to have such a large dose. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. But I really, really do get it now. So yes, it is that.
What did you say about tomatoes?
Pardon? I said nothing about tomatoes. Anyway.
Sorry.
I think I've said enough. Mushrooms are very much a part of my life. I am very grateful for what has transpired through the years. And as Kerry said, who knows what the road ahead has in store for us. I think Monica's favorite saying is keep doing what you're doing. And I think I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. It seems to be paying off in some way in my life. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Anton.
Yes.
Is it your turn now?
It is my turn.
Oh, good.
I don't have these long words of wisdom because from a spiritual point of view, I've often felt I'm quite naive in the sense that I just do what I do. And I remember when I first arrived at Monica, my words in my introduction were in relation to what my life had been like for a couple of years before that. And that was an experiment in letting go. And working with mushrooms, and we have continued that experiment of letting go. And just trusting the naivety in not necessarily trying to look for a philosophical understanding of why I think I'm doing something in a certain way or why I want to do it in a certain way, but just simply doing it. And that's why I'm so often in awe about being in a relationship with Rodianne, because she has the words, which I don't. I just bumble along. And I'm not always sure why I'm why. Well, there we go. I do a lot of talking. Yeah, but what I mean is the wise words. There's words that mean something, and there's the waffle. You know, so I do a lot of waffling, and a lot of talking, at least between the two of us. And there's a certain amount of wisdom that comes from her. But from a spiritual point of view, and working with mushrooms, I just continue to do what I do, and the whole process has helped me a lot, just to continue doing what I do. And whenever I feel I'm in a really tough space, you know, you get this nervous, overwhelming paranoia in life sometimes. The acceptance of being where you are for me has been very much a pillar to hold on to as well. This is where I am. And that often could be while taking responsibility for how you got here or just understanding for how you got here, but just say, well, this is where I am. This is today. And what am I going to do today? Because I can't do anything about yesterday. And mushrooms has helped me a lot with that. Saying, well, this is where I am today, not where I want to be tomorrow or where I was yesterday. And having Rodi by my side makes a huge difference. Monica, I'd like to kind of hand over to you, but I want to ask you in the same context of what you were talking about, the purpose and sharing knowledge. We have someone that's arrived. I'm going to add him to the room. And once you've done speaking, I will welcome him then as well.
Okay. Are you adding him now?
I'm adding him now, yes. John is joining us.
On what's gone before.
I'll give him a bit of an introduction.
Okay.
There we go. Monica, you go ahead, so long.
I loved listening to what all of you were saying, and it really rang true for me. The matter of spirituality, just as a word, has been strong for me for as far back as I can remember, and I have no idea where I got it from. I must have been a toddler, I think, where I was already thinking about spiritual stuff in the way toddlers might do that. And I did not come from a spiritual home. There was no talk of spirituality in our conversations. There was no, we were teenagers, we were supposed to go to church regularly, but the rest of the family didn't. And it was a very boring Church of England kind of thing. That meant nothing to me, but I had a drive to understand a bigger picture. And I often think about it. One of my most vivid memories is such a small little memory, that I can't imagine why I even remember it. I remember lying on my back in long grass, and I must have been about three because of where the house we were living in at the time, and staring into the detail of this long grass and the insects and the life and the movement of the grass in the wind. And it was a very little girl's spiritual experience, I think. I just remember loving that experience. And of course, then I had the breakthrough experience in Sunday school when I was at the ripe old age of four, when I promised Jesus because of what the Sunday school teacher had said. And we were singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And that seemed to be what we should do with our lives, is let our light shine for Jesus. Let it shine till Jesus comes. And I thought Jesus was coming like next week, you know. It was, I didn't know it was going to take so long. And at that stage, I remember promising Jesus that I would always work for him. I mean, I've told you all know that story. But somehow that stayed with me. But I was never, ever pushed from the outside. Never. It was an inner drive that was going. In fact, I was a pain in the ass in my family because I was pushing them. And they'll all agree with that I was pushing them to read their Bibles, and I talk about the Bible. I didn't know there was anything more than the Bible for a long time. That's all I thought there was. And I took it very, very seriously. And I'm not sorry that I did that. And so I bumbled my way through my life with these expectations of what I was seeing going on in especially the Happy Clappy Church that I joined when I was about 12, I think, or 13 maybe, which came at a very awful time in my childhood. My family was breaking up and there was lots of unhappiness. And an aunt took me to this church. And thank goodness she did that, because there I found a spiritual home, which happened to be a Pentecostal, happy, clappy, speaking in tongues thing. And then began the disillusionments, because I never spoke in tongues. It was never, I saw all these people speaking in tongues and translating in church, and I'd read it about it in the Bible. And I didn't really like those people, and there didn't seem to be anything in them that made, I wanted in terms of being working for Jesus, which is what was important to me. And the fact that I was being left out of this was very painful. And I'm full of self-judgment, that what's wrong with me? Am I so bad? And I've continued with my Bible studies and stuff. And finally, at the age of 30, when they more or less kicked me out of the church, because I asked too many questions and I didn't just listen to what I was told, which was a dagger in my back, is all I can say. I felt so broken about that, where the pastor came to visit me to tell me in his exact words, I'll never forget, "Monica, I've got bad news for you. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has no place for people like you." And I was devoted, absolutely devoted to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which I've been part of for many, many years at that stage. And I won't go into the detail of that either, because it was a huge thing, but it was so liberating. And I was 29, 30 years old, which, if you know astrology, is a very important breakthrough year. The timing was perfect. And I wasn't liberated from Bible study and that sort of thing, but I was liberated from membership of anything. Since then, I haven't ever actually joined anything. I haven't had a need to. It's never even occurred to me. I followed my own path, which brought me to mushrooms, which is as close to getting to speaking in tongues. Not that I've ever spoken in tongues, but it was an inner experience, the kind of thing that I thought that this is actually what I've been wanting all along. And to be learning in that way, to be learning from a higher source. And there was no falling around and frothing around at the mouth and running around the church and screaming and shouting, which is what I thought. I was not good enough. I wasn't ever chosen to do that. And and of course, I did a lot of reading, a wide amount of reading. I was interested in everything of a philosophical, spiritual nature. And I'm really happy with how it turned out. There was a lot of pain along the way. Because I would walk away from something when I finally found that it wasn't what I thought it was. It wasn't true. It didn't kind of meet my idea of a spirit. I never used the word spiritual in those days, but of a spiritual truth. And there was hurt. I mean, I left people behind, friends, walked away from friends. And because it just wasn't real. The whole thing wasn't real. And, you know, I can honestly say now that if I were to find that astrology and mushrooms are a lot of hocus pocus, I would walk away again. But I can't imagine that it would ever happen, because both of those two things just get stronger and bigger and more enlightening in the most real of ways. I don't have to imagine anything. I don't need to talk myself into anything. And I can also be very real with all my warts and troubles and everything, and not have any expectations that I should be what I'm not. So that's a long story, but that's how my path unfolded. And all of it in the end was really leading me to, I think, to where I am now. Every step of the way prepared me to that I was really at this late age in my life to be able to see things in such a different way and with a much deeper confidence in because of what I learned and unlearned in the past. I don't know what John is thinking about all of this. Who is John?
John, welcome. I hope we can hear from you. We've been speaking about spirituality and how it's connected with the work that we do with Soma and mushrooms. The group that here is or are all experienced watchers is Monica, Margie, Rodianne, and Kerry. We'd very much like to hear from you, John. If you have any questions, you've got this panel of very experienced women and myself to answer any questions you have. You have all our ears. If you'd like to discuss where you are spiritually and how that relates to Soma and sacred mushrooms, you probably have the most experienced people to answer those questions as well. Hi, John. John, your microphone is off, but I can't hear you. We can hear your lips moving. Or see your lips moving. Thank you.
Not here. Isn't that weird?
It's very strange.
How can our one and only person not be heard?
John. If you unplug your earphones and see if your mic directly on your computer works.
No, he's muted.
Can you hear me now?
There we go. We can hear you.
Okay, now I can't see anybody.
The volume on my side is a bit low.
We can hear you, but your volume is quite low, John.
He can't hear us.
And now it's off.
I connect again just now.
That's better.
Okay, is that better?
That's it. That's it. John, with bated breath, how are you?
No, I'm good, Anton. Good to see you and Monica. I've been to Cape Town a few times. It's John from Namibia.
Wow, I thought I recognized you. How are you, John? It's been
nearly. Sorry, I still can't hear John. I want to hear John. He's very soft. I don't want to miss a single word.
Let me connect again just now, Anton. Let me just quickly try and sort it out.
Thank you, John.
Can you tell us about John in the meantime while he sorts himself out?
Yes, John is part of the group that joined us from Namibia. Three or four years ago. John is a cyclist, and he's I can't remember who brought him. I can see his face very clearly. But John was there twice.
Yeah,
at Somerland in Somerset.
Maybe those Namibian guys wasn't he the one that liked the soup so much?
Yes.
Helpings of soup.
That may be him. So I'm looking forward to hearing where he is at.
Yeah.
And how he's doing.
Well, what did he say in his
Registration, he asked the question or made the statement of wanting to work about more information on the remote use. He has done a couple of actual on-site events. So he wanted some information on the SOMA at Home events. But more interestingly, this evening, I'd like to know where he is spiritually, because he has been to Somerset West. He's journeyed at least twice with you in Somerland. And there was, I recall at the time, a possibility of some sort of work starting to happen in Namibia with groups of them. Potentially growing, potentially sourcing and growing it themselves rather than needing to.
They even had a center. They'd set up a center.
Yes.
In Fokkermut.
That's right. There we go. It's all coming together.
Now
we have to wait with bated breath to hear John come back. Shall we continue with our discussion, or is there, have we kind of reached a plateau? Monica, maybe I can come back to you a little bit. I loved hearing all of your feedback. Before we spoke and started, you were saying how clear your direction feels about what your purpose is.
The reason for why I do this.
Are you able to tie that for us together with what you spoke about your spirituality and where you've arrived at now? Are you able to join those two dots together for us?
Yeah, and you know that I've been unhappy with the word spirituality for a long time. And you remember that Zoom talk we had where that Stuart, the advocate that was part of it, he was very keen that we should actually find another word in terms of the now very boring court case, because that we can use in the legal context that would fit better than spirituality. And he was the one who was actually at the meeting here a couple of days ago. Personally, he wanted to come and see what the house looks like, what's going on here. what was your question again? Sorry about my memory, but you know me.
My question was how you can tie together your introduction about spirituality with your purpose.
Well, yeah.
What to be now about sharing information about mushrooms.
What has happened for me along the way is I've learned an enormous amount about an enormous variety of stuff. Because my life has been so varied and I've really jumped out of one thing and into another thing, whether it was jobs, actual employment. From the age of 16 is when I started working, and into one thing, out of it, learning something new, following it up to the as far as I could. Getting a degree as an adult. I was 40 when I started studying and finished my degree, and that opened certain doors of understanding. And it took me very long to get to this place. And I still feel like I know nothing. or little bits of something, but not much. And the one thing that has shone as a real useful pure truth is the experience with mushrooms. And what appeals to me about it is that it's from pure nature. It's not from a human context. It's not written in a book. I became very disillusioned about what's written in a book or spoken by a pope or a pastor or someone like that. That this is where we can go straight to a source, and we only dimly know what that source is. So, and that's where the religion thing becomes difficult, because you kind of want to call it God, but you know, that's doesn't quite say it, because it's, that word is so full of different interpretations. But I love to think that I can make a contribution with what I do to help other people find that they can actually connect with another source that is not like the happy clappy speaking in tongues that I yearned for when I was a teenager. And I couldn't see in the lives of the people who were doing that, that it was making any difference to them at all. They could make a lot of noise in church, but then out of church, there was a lot of hanky-panky going on. And and that was that very same thing was not given to me by God, which I wanted so badly. As a 15-year-old, I went off into the bush and stayed in a little wooden cottage for 10 days and ate nothing and just read the Bible, praying for the speaking in tongues. And God didn't listen to me, ignored me, actually. So that was kind of a symbol of the path until I discovered what happens with mushrooms. And I really feel that I've settled into that, because it's so individual. Nobody's being forced in any direction. We're not trying to make converts and prove from texts and quotes and stuff that this is the truth, and if you don't follow this truth, then that is going to happen. There's a freedom for people to each one discover their own path. And I don't know if that answers your question, Anton, but that I wouldn't be where I am now, not by a long chalk, if I hadn't discovered mushrooms, if I hadn't had that birthday party where I got the mushrooms gift. I mean, it's on such tiny little things that these hang, just seen as accidental things that open up a whole new door.
Thank you, Monica. Appreciate hearing that. There's a lot to say about information and trusting information today, and trusting what we hear from so many people. And especially when we talk about mushrooms, Rodianne and I were talking about earlier on how so many people have so much information today. Mm. And John, I'd like to say hi again and hope that your audio is fixed and that we can hear you. We've plotted together the story of the memories of how you joined us from Namibia. How are you? Let's see if we can hear you.
Yeah, let's try again. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
We can. Thank you, John.
Yeah. I think it was twice that we've been around there.
Yes.
And it was actually quite. Two vastly different experiences. Although Monica would say that I still can't speak too much. But do you remember, Monica?
I didn't hear. Sorry, the sound is quite soft still.
I was saying that you were saying that I actually speak too much.
Did I tell you speak?
Yeah, at some stage you told me to shut up.
Then, John, you must have been very bad. I can't imagine you saying that.
Especially afterwards at the fire.
Yeah. I'm not going to apologize, because I think I must have had a good reason.
No, I'm sure there was an absolutely good reason. I've been told that a few times.
John, we'd love to hear how you are, where you are in your life, how have things been going, and how can you relate that maybe back to the two journeys that you did with us?
So now the moment I'm in Joburg. So yeah, I've left Namibia ever since COVID. I haven't been back there yet. And I'm actually with a family now staying in Johannesburg.
Oh, so you're not in Namibia anymore?
No, I'm not. No. I left. Yeah, no, yeah, I left there in about 2019. Yeah.
Okay.
And ever since 2019, yeah, I haven't seen or heard anything from Andries or Nonna. Yeah.
I often think of them and wonder how they're doing.
And John,
yeah, it seems my internet was fluctuating.
That's okay. What brings you here this evening, John?
Yeah,
all by yourself.
So obviously the I'm a lot more curious now about doing it remotely.
You know about our online journeys that we have. Do you know about that? You must do.
Yes, the whole online experience. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, you're at the right place.
Do you have any specific questions about that, John, or can I give you a brief rundown of how they work? I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Did you hear, John?
My internet's bad. Let me just try and connect again.
Maybe no video. Yeah.
Okay, it looks like we've lost John. Where to from here?
This is an unusual kind of information evening.
It's very interesting. It's a very interesting meeting. And I really do, as always, I do appreciate all your time and your input to at least make it a live discussion. The thoughts that I had, Monica, of you and the sharing of information, and it was interesting that you were saying about not believing or trusting what you read in a book. I have a personal opinion, maybe it's an opinion rather than a belief or understanding about the future. I have a fear of our lack of belief and trust in what we see written and presented on screen, not just in my lifetime, but in future lifetimes. And the reminder that we need to trust in the higher force and the divine force, trust in Soma, trust in God, that however that works out is how it should. But it doesn't necessarily always take that fear away, which brings me back to when I was speaking earlier on, just accept where you are today. But this kind of interaction, you can't make up. You can't bring artificial intelligence. You can't bring a deep fake video. You can't bring twirly words on paper that actually mean nothing, but can take a lot of time reading into a personal connection, which is preferable, I think, in person, yes, but is, as a second prize, also sharing from experience. So somehow I think, despite my fears and despite how the future may turn out, as long as we're sharing information very specifically in this kind of way, I can place my trust in that. And this kind of way is very specific to a Soma introduction. It's very specific in sharing where you are, who you are right now, and sharing information about experiences that we have to whoever may also be there. Because our experiences are what hopefully others can learn from. And Monica, you sharing your experiences going all the way back to lying in the grass and studying the world around you when you were 3 or 4 years old, that can spark something for us 73 years later when we listen to that, because it's your experience. And that's so valuable to me, at least. It gives me a little bit of hope for the future. So please sharing experience. Please keep sharing experiences, all of you. Please keep sharing information in whatever environment you're in.
Mm-hmm. I missed out something quite important that has become more and more important for me. And that is what I keep on calling magic, a belief in magic. And I don't mean like fairy stories and stuff, obviously. I mean things that happen unexpectedly and inexplicably. That if we respond to them, if I just make it personal, if I respond to that, the outcome of it is something I could never, ever have imagined. And my life, especially these days, is absolutely full of that. And I've got these ideas now from the experience of that as to how do we keep the magic alive? Or how do I keep the magic alive? There's certain things that I need to do, especially in my head, in order not to lose this grip on this magic that always works out nicely well and solves problems. And issues and there was a stage a few days ago where I was thinking maybe a better word for spiritual is magic, but I'm not sure that would go down that well in court. You see, we've got to have a word that goes well with a judge, with a constitutional judge, what's more. But that has become very important for me and totally intertwined in working with mushrooms, is connecting with the magic, which is all around us all the time. And all we've got to do is have our eyes open and watching and responding, which of course then ties in with vagabonding, because vagabonding is living magically. That's what it is. So that, I think, is one of the most important things in terms of practical everyday living, is that living magically and being open to whatever presents itself and not deciding ahead of time what I want to happen.
I do love that. I've been talking a lot about the, I don't want to get cliched again, Rodianne, is my experiments with truth. It comes from reading Gandhi's book, The Autobiography of His Experiments with Truth. And I suppose at the end of the day, we're all experimenting with our truth on a amount of different levels. And probably if I had an opportunity with my kids to share some advice, if they ever asked, was what would you do as well? Learn to experiment with your own truth and be honest with the answers that you get. Experiment with lying. See what happens in your life. Experiment with telling the truth and see what happens with your life. Experiment telling yourself you're ugly and see how your body responds. Experiment with yourself and telling you are beautiful and seeing how your body responds and see how the world responds. It's very much experimenting with truth. So that's kind of what we do. And we share that from our experiences, allowing that magic to happen because those experiments seem to bring that magic out and realize the truth about that magic or... Yeah, there is a word. It's difficult to use magic in a court of law.
We have to invent a whole new word.
There we go. John, third time lucky. And if it doesn't work, I'll share a lot of information with you in via email. But how's your connection now?
Right. It seems as if it's a bit better. I can hear you better.
You were asking about the online remote experiences, and I wanted to ask if you had any specific questions, or shall I give you a brief overview of what that experience is and how it works?
Yes, I think if you can maybe give a brief overview.
Okay. I suppose I'll call that on myself. In a very simplified way, you've journeyed with Monica in Somerset West a few years ago. We're creating with the Soma at Home events an opportunity for those that are, I call it willing and able to work on their own wherever they are in the world, to journey in a group environment, connecting with a group that is also all over the world. And an at-home experience is twofold. It is firstly includes preparing you for that experience to be able to work on your own, which is not just arriving on a Saturday night. It's a whole week of preparation and giving you advice, giving you tips, giving you tools, letting you know what you need to do to prepare yourself and your space to be able to meet with Soma on a specific night. And that includes finding someone, if you feel it's suitable or applicable to you, finding someone to be with you for that experience. And then the second part of an at-home experience is to allow that group to be together for the duration of the week before, but also to journey in your own spaces on that Saturday night while being connected with a group of watchers that's there in support of your experience and being on call if you need someone to speak to. And then that group experience to be together after that as well. I hate wanting to use the word integration, but I'm going to use it. The reality is that with a profound, especially spiritual experience, the comfort of having a group of people that you've gotten to know beforehand, that have been there during the experience and are accessible to you after the experience to share how you are still doing in your life, be it the next day, be it the next week or the next month. We allow a platform that you have access to all of that. And again, to be able to be in Joburg, to be in Namibia, and to connect with that group wherever you are. So there's a bunch of practicalities that goes along with that, which I can share with you. You're drawn to working with that because you can't get to Cape Town, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that mostly. And also in Namibia at some stage, we took quite a bit of stash with us. So I had quite a bit. So I had quite a bit of experience of microdosing, but then also actually on my own, actually having like serious doses as well, because I had quite a considerable amount that I took with. Actually, quite interesting. I actually at one stage actually went. And actually did the mountain bike race while I was microdosing. That was quite an experience.
What do you mean by microdose, John?
I took about 2 grams before I went to go and ride
the race. That's not a microdose.
Well, I went on a proper journey while cycling through the mountain. It was quite hilarious.
That was dangerous.
Yeah, I'm sure it could have been dangerous, but it worked. Luckily, I'm still here to tell the story.
And still smiling, clearly, John.
and still smiling, still having all my teeth and haven't broken anything.
And now you're looking to connect with us again. What is missing for you? And I don't know if I'm asking that correctly. That you're looking to find
the whole connection. Especially on the second journey in Somerset West. That's where I actually really experienced the whole interconnectivity.
Can you hear John, or is it just me that can't hear him?
Could you hear me, Anton?
I can hear you now, John. How can you hear him, Monica?
I couldn't just now, but I heard him now. I missed what you just said.
What was it? Yeah, I said on the second one that I really experienced the interconnectivity. And that's what I feel at this stage may be missing now.
And by that, do you mean the community of other people?
That as well, yeah. And obviously not having had any soma or access to.
It's an interesting concept, John, that interconnectivity with firstly community and a group, and secondly the connectivity with the world and the universe around us, which is what we experience in a journey often, especially where we are today in the world. Coming out of 2 years of disconnecting, we were talking earlier, especially with Kerry and with Margie, about going back to normal in a certain kind of way, or becoming used to again to connect to physical groups, and starting to interact with physical groups, and yet there's this online environment that we've come to rely on in the last couple of years. The Soma at Home experiences are very much about trying to connect for people that are not able to get to a physical environment, that aren't able to get to Somerset West, aren't able to get to a group experience, because as much as what we'd like everybody to go there, there are still people stuck in various places in their homes. And I'm going to say stuck because they also don't necessarily want to leave home and go down to the shops 1 or 2 kilometers away. And there is an opportunity for them to connect with a broader sense in a physical, not in a physical, in a digital kind of sense. But Soma and Sacred Mushrooms does allow this opportunity for this interconnective on a broader sense. And we've learned that through experience over the last 2 years of doing these at-home events of groups journeying together that are pulling together people that are spread all over the country and all over the world in a sense. And there's a certain kind of there's a certain kind of magic, again, that connects them together, which we can't explain. And we probably shouldn't get stuck on trying to explain. We should just accept it as synchronicity, as magic, as a divine something which we surrendering to. But there's a part of us that relies on that connection and understanding to this something that's a lot bigger, this interconnectivity between all humans and all living beings. And I really hope we can help you find that, John.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
The best way to know how it works, John, is to actually join the group and have that experience.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah. No, I'm definitely, obviously I'll be in contact with Anton afterwards and then actually see to how to actually set it up, yeah.
I'll send you more information, John. The next Soma at Home is on the 9th of April, 9th of April, which is about 10 days from now. The at-home events have become also events that are asked for in a way that is similar to how it works in Somerset West. We were talking about maybe this information meeting is our last. Maybe the next at home is our last. And actually, Monica, there's a wonderful relief in that, in a way, in knowing that potentially this is your last. And if you're in a bad mood, you may want to add, so please let this be the last. And if you're in a good mood, you say, well, let's see if this is the last, because it may just be. So yeah, that's where we are, John. The next one's on the 9th of April. I can mail you more information. And the way that it would work is if you do register on the same, in a similar way that you did for this information meeting, you are then included in a group, in a WhatsApp group conversation, which will start from next Monday. And there you get to start meeting this, what will be probably again a small group. The groups have become smaller as people have reached out into the world of physical experiences. Yet there are people that have a preference for this way of working as well, because it suits them to be at home and in their environment. So I'll send you more information, and we'd love to have you at this coming date or at one that may be set for the future?
I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or actually to be down in the Somers West again.
That would be wonderful. Do you have any plans to travel down to Cape Town soon?
Not exactly, it's quite possible.
Yeah. There are dates set, and you can keep an eye out on that page where you registered for this event. There are two upcoming dates that have been set already on the 16th and on the 30th of April, and possibly more in future, or maybe again the 30th, it will be the last if no one asks.
And how many last have there been?
Quite a few hundred, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's a profound realization from my side as well, is that one can also say no. And that applies to each of us in our lives, in finding your purpose, in finding what you want to do. There is always an opportunity for you to make another choice.
And also to change your mind.
And also to change your mind, yes. Even in a vagabond way.
Yeah.
John, do you have any other specific questions or thoughts from your side?
Oh, no, actually nothing from my side.
How about Margie? Let's go around, and if anybody has any other points they'd like to add before we wrap this up. Margie, you've added about replacing spirituality with human connection, or just connection, or grounded connection, or interconnectedness. Connection is one of the most used terms when people describe the experience. And that's just tied in beautifully with what John's looking for, isn't it, Margie?
Connection.
Margie, do you
have... It's a universal connection. I think not the word human. It's just a connection.
No, I don't I put human in there, and I thought, no, that's very restrictive.
But it's even connection with nature and the sunrise and the thunder and lightning or whatever might be happening.
Universal is quite a nice way of putting it. Universal interconnectedness.
Yeah.
Or something. It's connection seems to be such a fundamental common experience.
Yeah.
That seems, and John, you've expressed it. You said that's what you want to look back for. I remember my first one was trying to find something that would break down the barriers and create some kind of connection. So I think it's, Monica, from your descriptions, it sounds like you've had that universal connection since, from very young, in a kind of natural way, just was there for you, and you don't seem to have lost it, maybe except in the happy clappy.
Well, I have my moments. I'm not always in another space.
I don't have anything more now.
Yeah, where it actually dawned to me was actually walking barefoot on the grass across the road in the park in Somerset West. I mean, the whole connection, actually connecting to the grass and then actually seeing the stars and everything connect.
Brodie Ann, do you have any thoughts to close up with?
Well, the one wonderful thing that I'm always so baffled with the SOM at home experiences is with the connection with whether it's a large group or a small group, there's always somebody who sometimes isn't even a watcher that has the exact answer for another journeyer that none of us have. And it's almost as though this collective of connection provides in its own little small cocoon of that specific experience all the answers that everybody needs for that moment in time. And then obviously we all peter off and we all go on our own way, but it's just something so beautiful. And it's almost, I remember when we went to Monica, it was like a little fleeting moment, but you get to hang on to it for a little bit longer with the at-home experiences, with the WhatsApp group that builds up, and then it has your little ceremony at home, and then it peters down at the end. So that connectedness is, it's same but different. I don't know how to explain it. It's a very special experience. That's what I wanted to add to it.
That's part of the magic, you know, because magic comes and goes and happens in a moment. Magic doesn't go on for hours on end.
Exactly.
It's a spark of something.
Sure. Kiri, how are you? Would you like to?
I do want to say something, and it in a way doesn't really relate to what you've been talking about, except for this idea of saying yes and no. And I have been on a journey for the past 20 something days of saying yes and no deliberately and really focusing on what it is that I want and don't want. And it does connect, because it's about the magic of connectedness. And that when you are really connecting into yourself and you're saying yes and no to things you do or don't want, that you lose all boundaries and constraints, because all of a sudden anything and everything is absolutely possible. And I think that in doing this exercise, I don't think I would have done it with the same kind of freedom if I hadn't been working with the mushrooms and Soma. And I just had a need to share that. And you know, for me, the at-home experience has been the most profound experience, and has enabled me to connect to things on a bigger scale than I've ever connected to in my life before. So, John, we look forward to hosting you, seeing you, being part of each other's journeys at the next at-home experience.
Kiri, I have to ask, are you still colorblind?
Yes.
Because you talk about the greens and the colors as if you can see them quite clearly now.
Okay. But I actually haven't done a test.
Okay.
But I will tell you, the other thing that shifted is that I'm on medication for a chronic condition, and I have to have blood tests every 6 months. And for the third time in 2 years, my medication has been reduced.
Oh. Wow.
And so it's interesting what happens in the background and stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna do the test, the color perception test, and see.
Thank you. Monica, from you in closing, any thoughts?
Just one thought that is actually a huge thing, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, is how very deep needs that roll along for decades sometimes. I've noticed how they will suddenly come up, and actual literal circumstances will then come in to start stirring those needs up, or old hurts or whatever it might be, in order to offer the opportunity for it to be fixed and resolved. We're nowhere near a mushroom journey, but just in daily life. And that I've experienced that very strongly over the last two weeks or so, because of a terrible death in my family, which is, you would never have thought that something so tragic would spark a huge earthquake, if I can use that word, in my very interesting and very big family, where there's an enormous amount of unexpressed, unhealed pain. And because of the bringing together of people, people have been come from overseas, from England, from across the country, and all to Cape Town to be there for a double funeral. And the bonding that happened in that time was, in that short time, was some of the resolutions that happened, and the love that came in my family. I've mentioned it to you, Anton and Rodi. I never thought in my lifetime it would ever happen. And on Saturday, my brother, my youngest brother, who's 27 years younger than me, was actually at the journey with us. And I don't have any issues with him, other than I've hardly seen him at all in his lifetime, because we've always lived in different countries. But we were brought together now, and I feel like I've got one of the closest human beings in my life, in him, that we found each other. Those kind of miraculous things, where one thing has sparked another thing. And if you have the eyes to see and to watch how this magic is unfolding in the most unexpected ways, which you never would have thought, like the tragic death of two young men, would spark off something that everyone in our family is now saying they never believed that we could be this close, because many of us live in Cape Town. So it's not that we're physically distant, but emotionally distant, because there's so many things we may not talk about. There's this kind of unwritten rule that we mustn't talk about these things, one of them being mushrooms. But now mushrooms is an open topic. Everyone wants to know about it.
The cool granny.
The one in the know.
Thank you, Monica. John, any last thoughts or comment from your side?
No, nothing from me, thank you.
Thank you for being with us, John. For being our one and only other person.
Yeah. Just the other thing is, Monica, have you sorted out your fence?
My fence?
Your fence, because remember, I could scale it so quickly.
I'm not sure what you're asking about.
No, I was able to jump over your fence.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you were that person. Now I know exactly what, yes, I have. If you come to my house, I've got it all sorted. John broke into my house like a burglar in the dead of night. I can't remember how it happened, but I heard scrabbling and scratching around. I thought my house was impregnable. But John, in the dead of night, managed to find a way to climb over the roof and through a little tunnel thing to get into my house. Yes, it's fixed. You will not be able to get in now, John.
Do you want to put money on that?
You said at the time you were good at that sort of thing. Well, you will surprise me if you can break in now.
Yeah.
I remember that very well.
Yeah. That's quite fond memories.
Yes.
But it's nice seeing you again, Monica. You look well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Can I make last comment? So as John, I mentioned to the others before you joined that I'm retiring tomorrow. It's my last day of formal employment. And I was quite worried about an event that's been organized for me and trying to make sense of what my career is. Can I just say, Monica, in terms of coincidences and how things feed in each other, this discussion this evening has given me so many insights into what I feel about my career and how it's gone and where it's gone. So, you know, I think the fact that it happened the night before for me is also such a very nice coincidence. Yeah. And effectively, I've had a vagabonding career, and it makes so much sense, and it feels magical, actually, rather than just organized.
That's so true. And it is I was thinking earlier on, how amazing that on this night, I wasn't even thinking of your thing, Margie, because I missed it. I missed your story. I was thinking how amazing that here we are having what I think is the nicest meeting. I've really enjoyed it. And then John comes in unexpectedly with all the Namibian memories that he brings with me. Were you the person who had 10 helpings of soup? Or was that somebody else? John?
No, that was somebody else.
You remember him?
Yes.
It was like he was an addict.
He actually took some with him. That wasn't the first journey. He couldn't get enough of your soup, yeah. Yeah, that was quite funny.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's all open ourselves to magic.
No, it is.
And recognize it, please. Sometimes we do have to just push the button or flip the switch to make it actually happen. And all you've got to do is see the signs and respond. And if I can give you a tip about what to respond to, is if something comes up that is a complete surprise, you never thought that was going to happen, you respond to that thing positively. Say yes, in other words, and see what happens next. That's what turns things around. And I never knew that before mushrooms. That was something mushrooms gave to me.
Okay. And that arrived later in life as well.
Yes.
Which most of us have ahead of us still.
You don't have to take as long as I did.
I've loved this conversation. I really appreciate the input. It makes a change from answering the same questions over and over.
Yeah.
And I wonder, in many ways, maybe at least a conversation like this, that can come to an end to an extent. Because answering the same questions over and over, and which are available in many places, doesn't give people the answers that they magically need, that they can find somewhere. And being the one who knows is a non-necessary point, but being the collective who can have a conversation like this, I found it very valuable and very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And John, it's such a pleasure to see you. It really is. Your big smile, I remember it very clearly. I remember you very well from Namibia, and happy to know that you've come to connect with us again, even from a distance. It really is a pleasure to have people come together like this. And maybe that's what these meetings can be about, is just hearing about where people are, how you are, because this is where you are. Well, whatever the circumstances are in your life, this is where we are today. And it's such a pleasure to see you again.
Thanks, Anton. And it's nice to see you. Nice to see Monica again. And nice to meet everybody else.
Nice to meet you too.
So thank you, everybody. Lots and lots of love from us.
Thank you.
And an exciting day tomorrow for especially the ladies.
Yes.
Wishing you lots and lots of fun. And the day later, it's April Fool's Day. So take advantage of that as well.
See you.
Much love, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.